Welcome to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you are joining us. Today, we will continue our series in the book of Acts as we discover how the Holy Spirit can move and work in people, through people, and in spite of people. Now, take some notes, and most of all, open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
Acts chapter 27, what does that mean? It means we're almost on Acts chapter 28. What? One more week in the book of Acts. And Pastor Carlos said he's been preparing 2 months for next week's sermon. So look out, all right? Pack your lunch, okay, pack a supper. No, seriously. Bring your friends. We want to welcome, seriously, next week, we want to welcome Pastor Carlos back. He has a lot of things that God has done in his heart and his life, and I know that we are going to be the benefit of all that stuff over the next months and years and all the things that the Lord has taught him and just has been speaking to him, and so it's really neat. So let's plan on welcoming him back in a great way next week. But go ahead, turn to Acts chapter 27. I like this chapter. It's kind of a It's just a story. And as I was reading through this this week and a few weeks back and just kind of ruminating through it, there's about 8 or 9 messages that I'd like to share. I'm going to keep it at 1 or 2, I think. Okay? Lord willing. And I promise I won't be here too long. I promise. But I really believe that what is on my heart to share is something that, if it's just the words, it's really not going to mean anything, honestly. But I believe that the Holy Spirit needs to really just do something in our hearts. Because even as I was preparing, I was like, Lord, that's such a simple message. It's so simple. What's the point of something so simple? Everybody in this whole church is going to know this. But I believe that there's something that the Holy Spirit needs to do. So if you'd pray with me one more time. I know we pray a lot, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning again. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you for being here. We don't presume upon you anything. But Lord, we ask that you would come and transform our hearts. We pray that where there has been hurt, Lord, I ask you to heal. Lord, where there has been confusion, I pray that you may give us understanding. And where there has been chaos, Lord, I pray that you may bring peace. Lord, I ask that this morning you may open up our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you may speak. Thank you for first loving us. Lord, we love you in return. In Jesus' name, amen. So Acts chapter 27, Paul knows he's appealed to Caesar. He's been arrested, and he knows he's going to go before Caesar. And knowing Paul, he's ready to share the gospel to Caesar. He's heading to Rome, but as a prisoner. The first 9 verses, a lot of stuff happens. I want us to pick up the story here, verse 8. And with difficulty sailing past, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lasea. They stopped in this place called Fair Havens. And up to this point on the journey, everything's going well. They're in Fair Havens. It's a very fitting name for a place where so far everything's going well. This morning, some of you may be sitting in Fair Havens in your life. Things are going well. All is well. And that's a great place to be. Great place to be. Verse 8, when considerable time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said to the men, "Men, I know that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. We can't blame him for that. Paul is a prisoner. The captain and pilot said everything's going to be fine. Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there, if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Just because it's a majority doesn't necessarily mean it's right. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. The boat leaves fair havens. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Just to mention, he used the word we there. Luke was most likely with him on this one. I love when, because Luke's like firsthand experience here. Running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. After they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship. And fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Sirtis, they let down the sea anchor. And in this way, they let themselves be driven along. The next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. They leave fair havens, and a storm comes up. I want you to notice about this storm, and it struck me this week as I was reading. What did Paul do to deserve this storm? He's a man of God. He's on his way to fulfill what God has set for his life. He warned them, if we go now, there's going to be problems. And yet, Paul finds himself in the midst of a storm, a horrible storm, that wasn't his fault. Now, there are a lot of times in our lives that storms come up, and it's because of our own, you know, dumb decisions or different things happen, and storms come up. But then there are just, let's be honest, there's times that we face difficulties and hardships and trials, and it wasn't our fault. But we are just getting swept along. Imagine how Paul felt. Inside his heart, oh, if they would have listened to me. I knew this was going to happen. In the midst of a storm, and maybe some of us today, you feel there's a heaviness, there's a burden, there's something going on. And in all honesty, you say, how did I get here? What has happened? Let's move on a little bit. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, listen to this. Men, I told you so. Isn't that about what he says? Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. you must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island. Today, one of the messages that I believe that God wants to sink in our hearts is this. In the midst of storms, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of things that maybe we had nothing to do with, maybe we did, maybe who knows what the circumstances are, but we have this life, and there's people in the life that we live, and there are difficulties that come up, and there are storms that come up. In the midst of these burdens, in the midst of these difficulties, so often we make vital mistakes, and these mistakes have consequences that can exist for years in the future. And I felt that today I wanted to share of one, maybe two, possibly three, if we get that far, of mistakes that maybe we have made in our lives. If we have, I believe God can bring restoration. If we haven't, maybe we're sitting in fair havens, but I can promise you a storm will come, and we must be sure we don't make the same mistakes. And as I was praying about these storms in our lives and what comes up, I believe one of the primary mistakes that I've made in the past, and I think is quite common mistake. I want you to picture Paul. He's on this ship. He has very little food. Not a fun ride. His life is being threatened. The people's lives are being threatened. It's a horrible storm. Imagine there's a possibility of him having some issues with God. Let me explain this. Have you ever been in a storm that wasn't your fault? Something has happened in your life, a difficulty. There is something that rises up sometimes, let's be honest, and we say, God, why? Why is this happening? But I tell you, the mistake is not that question comes up. The mistake is this, that we blame God, but we never go to him about it. Let me explain this. Imagine if somebody came up. I've may have heard this happen before. I've heard maybe a woman in my class this week. I can't believe she said that about me. Right? I don't know if anybody's ever said anything like that. I can't believe she said that. Did you hear? I can't believe she said that about me. Our good Christian response in our own lives would be, what should that woman do? She should go talk to who? That person. It's a very simple principle about gossip. Melinda shared it with many in the church, and it has begun to sink down in us. We don't gossip. At least we shouldn't. Well, we do. But then we pray, and we change, and we do what we got to do. Or, I can't believe this happened. Sorry, I have to bring this up. This happened last week in my family. See, part of sharing the word is, you know, lives are open book. Last week, right, something happened where I didn't help Angela bring the groceries in. Guess why I didn't help? I didn't know there were any groceries. I was upstairs studying. I didn't know. But guess what happened? I came downstairs, hey, how you doing, honey? And I noticed there's about 20 bags of groceries on the floor. We had an option there, right? I'm thankful that she came to me about it. And she said the question directly to me, why didn't you help me with the groceries? A very valid question, would you not say? And my response, which she's been married to me 13 years, I didn't know there were any groceries. And the sad thing is I really was clueless. I knew she went to Walmart, but I never made the connection that she would come back with groceries. See, there's a problem there. But there's something amazing that happens. We're married, right? So she's a very honest woman, and she looks me in the eyes, and she says, what about the groceries? What were you doing? And I was like, I didn't know about the groceries, right? And we had a wonderful communication. And I learned that when someone goes to Walmart, they're probably going to come back with groceries. Sam's Club. See, I don't even know the details. It was Sam's Club. Oh, it wasn't just Walmart. It was Sam's Club. Yeah, they were big groceries. These are funny little things. But then why, when it comes to God, do we not take it to Him? We do one of two things. One, a storm comes up in our life that, honestly, we have some issues. And we're questioning and we say, this doesn't make sense. There's one group of people that will say, God, I'm done with you. If you're going to let this happen, or this is going to happen, and they walk away. The fact that we're here means that probably wasn't the option we took. However, there is one just as damaging. And it's that we respond in the right Christian way. Christian way. And we think that God is not big enough to actually handle what He already knows is in our hearts. We push it aside deep down and we say, okay, God. We keep going through the motions. We go to church. We read our Bible. We do what we're supposed to do. Why? Because, well, we want to go to heaven. We want a relationship with Him. But there really isn't any true intimacy with God. I'm going to read you something in Psalms chapter 69. Psalm, many of them were written by David, who is called a man after God's own heart. One thing about the Psalms is we realize David was honest before God. God is not honored when we put up a front and we pretend before Him that everything's okay. He's not honored by that. Why? Because He knows what's in our heart, and so He knows very well that we're lying to Him. But what we are so quick to do is go and we'll talk to everybody else. Can you believe this happened? I don't understand why. And we've never gone to the source. We've never gone to God with the questions that we have and the pains and the burdens and the sorrows. Here we find Paul in the midst of the storm. He must have been somewhere talking to God, because an angel of the Lord appeared to him and gave him a little bit of clarification, saying, Paul, I still got you. You're going to Crete. It's going to be okay. And he had a word from the Lord that led him out of that place of intimacy into continuation of what God was going to do. The question is, are we honest before God? Psalm 69, listen to this. I could have picked out, I don't know, 30 or 40 different psalms to choose, but here's David. We're not going to read it in the nice Christian way. We're going to read it the way he probably felt at the time. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I'm sunk in a deep pit. There's no place to put my feet. I've come into deep waters and the floods, they overwhelm me. I'm weary with my crying. My throat is parched. Now listen to this line. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. He's saying this to God. It's like saying, God, I'm tired. Where are you? This is how I... Did God already know he felt this way? Is there anything wrong with being honest to God? For years, I went through, and we're going to read a little more. For years, I went through this thing where I was taught to be a good kid. I grew up doing the right thing. I was a good kid. I knew when to speak, when to be quiet, got all A's in school, just good kid, moral kid, all is well. Even when I started going to church, I knew, read my Bible, check, say my prayers, check. Spend some time with God. Memorize a few books of the Bible. Check. But when it came down to it, I was doing the right thing because that was the right thing to do. I always thought I had a relationship with God because I assumed intimacy with God meant spend time praying, spend time reading the Bible. Does that help? Yes. But the very basis of any intimacy is an honesty with God, who is big enough to handle our honest pains and our honest questions. And I am so glad that he is big enough. And listen to David, verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart. I am so sick, and I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, I found none. They also gave me gall for my food and for my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. Who is he telling this to? He's taking it to the Lord. May their table before them become a snare. When they're at peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so they cannot see. May their loins shake continuously. David, you can't talk like this. David, it's not nice. Does God know that that's in David's heart? The only way God's going to be able to heal his heart is for David to speak it to his God. God is not pleased by us coming before him and becoming something that we're not. Because the only way that God can transform us is when we bring who we are. For years, I said that I was struggling in a sin, growing up as a teenage guy, right? Every teenage guy, lust. It's crazy, right? And I say, oh, I struggle with lust. I struggle with lust. And I go for prayer. Oh, I struggle with lust. I go for prayer. I struggle with lust. Oh, I struggle. Somebody finally came to me and said, you don't struggle with it. You like it. And I was like, huh? He said, you don't struggle with eating your vegetables, do you? I mean, eating too many. And I was like, no. He's like, because you don't like them. He said, you do what you like to do. So that's who you are. And you need to take who you are to the Lord and quit playing games with him and pretending that that's not you and that's just a struggle of a good Christian boy. But how many of us, and it wasn't until I came to God and said, I am an adulterer based on his word. I am, and dealt with all that that entailed and dropped me to my knees. How much more can God handle our honesty? Because we see David so often in the Psalms, he gets so dead honest with God, and then a great transformation happens. Look at verse 29. But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox. And he goes on. So many times we try to get to that place without honesty before him. And it's a false place. But it's from being open and honest with the King of all kings, dropping to our knees and saying, God, this is who I am. These are my struggles. My mom is notorious for this. She prays about everything. Drives me crazy, right? Because it makes me feel very unspiritual, right? Every time I have an issue, I'll pray for it. And she does. She's not lying either. You know, she'll pray. She'll be like, you know what God provided for me today? I really wanted a grapefruit, and I open up the refrigerator, and I forgot I had one in there. Praise God. And I was like, what? Mom, grapefruit, please. But her intimacy is that special. It's so simple. And it's a beautiful intimacy with God. I know many people that have been married 40 years, 30 years. Their marriage would be celebrated. Oh, you've been married 30 years. That's wonderful. There's no relationship. They live in a house together. They're under the same roof. And they stayed committed because that's what you do. But there's no relationship because there's no intimacy. And some of us maybe have been going to church for years. And it's like that marriage. Oh, we're married. But maybe in the past, a hurt had happened. And rather than take it to the Lord in honesty, we did the right Christian thing and pushed it down and say, okay, Lord, be praised. But deep down inside, we held that against him. And maybe we've been holding some things against God. Why did you let her die? Why did you do that? Why? And we've never actually taken that to him. And we've been holding him responsible, and we've never gone to him. And he knows the whole time that that hurt is there. My wife knows when something is wrong. I am good at smiling and moving on. I go to school there from 5:30 in the morning till about 6 or 5:30 at night every day, and everything is always good in school. This week, my back hurt, my neck hurt, all is well, right? According to everybody else. Because, hey, I can do that. I get home, hey, honey, and I smile, and how you doing? I'm doing great. Within a half hour, she'll look at me and be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing's wrong, I'm fine. What's wrong? Is something going on? I'm like, okay, my neck's killing me. It really hurts. She knew because of intimacy. Is our relationship with God based on that? Paul, through his time with the Lord, taken to him in honesty, he gets a word from the Lord, and it's this. And we're going to go here now, and then we'll be done. Verse 27. So they have a word from the Lord that they're going to be okay, but they have to stay together on the ship. But when the 14th night came, okay, just stop a second. Think of that. They were just given a word that everything was going to be okay. Sometimes we need to hang on the word that God has given us. The 14th night came as we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took other soundings and found it to be 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea, on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. Sometimes we receive a word from the Lord. Yes, we do. I hope your nose gets better. You okay? Sometimes we receive a word from the Lord, and it's a very simple word. The word for Paul and the people on the boat were, stay with the boat. You're going to run aground on land. You're going to be okay. But these sailors, in 14 days, they're getting close to land, and they begin to think, the ship is getting close to land. We are going to run aground. We're going to use the small boat, which makes some sense, take that into the land and be saved. Paul quickly says, that wasn't the word of the Lord. If they don't stay, y'all can't be saved. It's, the word was, whoever's with you, Paul, I've given you all of them. And so they cut the boat and let it go. We find at the end of chapter 27 that everyone was saved. The second thing that sometimes the mistake that we make when we're going through storms, number one was this. We don't take our problems and our issues directly to him. We pretend everything's okay, and we don't really have intimacy. And that can haunt us for years. The second mistake that sometimes we make is this. When God has given us a word, we so often can add to that word. And as time goes on, we begin to take it into our own hands. And we begin to modify that word and try to take care of it ourselves. Micah 6:8 says this, "What does the Lord require of you, O man, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. See, I remember being younger. Anza and I. We went on, right before we were married, we went on a short-term missions trip to Thailand. And while in a small city there called Pattaya, we're sitting and this town is known as prostitutes everywhere, bars everywhere, drugs being sold on the street, just sin. Like that's just what it is, essentially. And we were sitting there and in that setting, God spoke. I was, 21? What were we? Something like that. God spoke in my heart and it was a simple message, this is home. And I knew at that moment, boy, we're supposed to live here. That night, my wife and I, sitting in the hotel that our team was staying at, she asked me, she said, so what are you thinking? And I said, we need to live here. And she looks at me and she's like, yeah, and we need to work with teenagers. And we were so young and so foolish and so unwise that we said, okay. And that night by the pool, we made up a decision that we're moving back to Thailand. We're getting married, moving to Thailand, and we're leading teenagers to Jesus. Because that's what God said. We got back. And wise Christians did what they're supposed to do. And I'm very grateful for them in our lives. And they begin to talk. You're just going to be newly married. This isn't a good city. This isn't very wise to do. And I appreciate that. We need that to consider things. But we were young, and we knew one thing, the word of the Lord. And it was, move to Thailand, work with teenagers. We were completely clueless, completely simple. But God took that simplicity, led us to Thailand, and for 4 years did amazing things. And I look back on that, and I say, oh God, why do we have to grow up? Why do we have to grow up and begin to add so many things to your word? Move, live in the city, work with teenagers. Okay. We landed. We didn't even know who was going to pick us up from the airport. Did we have anybody? Yeah, we got taken to that guest house, didn't know where we were. Hey, it was great. God said, we're moving to Pattaya. Where's Pattaya? I don't know where it is, but we're going to get there. Like, it was simple, and it was glorious, and God could use that and do great things. But I found as I've gotten a little bit older, I'm 36 now, that I now, a little wiser, a little older, and I'm a little less obedient because I've missed the simplicity of obeying God. See, the amazing thing, when we come to him in honesty, I mean dead honesty, then guess what he does? He's honest to us in return. And we can have this beautiful relationship where he begins to lead us and direct us and give us his word. But when he gives us a word, we must walk in it. And not turn at all. Because so many have added to that word and tweaked that word. And before we know it, we're walking outside of his word and we're wondering what is actually happening. But in the midst of the storm, we just keep walking. I'm going to end. I don't want to go too late. Okay. Just want to end with this picture. One of the things when we were in Thailand, there was a time where we went with a Bible college and we were going up to the jungles of Thailand on the edge of Burma. And it was a campground that we were going to get to. My pastor at that time, awesome man of God, he simply told us, he said, follow the path, you'll find the campsite. Pastor Al, thank you. Very simple. There were four of us together. And he dropped us off at the bottom of this mountain. And there was a path in front of us. It was dusk. He said, follow the path. You'll get to the campsite. That was the word of Pastor Al. No more direction. No more clarity. That's about what you get from him. I loved it. It was awesome. So He says, walk, and you'll find the campsite. So I had Hannah, about a year old or so, on a backpack, right? Angela's there and two others. I know there are four. I don't know who it was, but two others. And I think we had one or two flashlights between us, and it's getting dark, okay? Big bamboo jungle forest, beautiful. But as we started to walk, Hannah began to cry because it began to get dark. And we were walking on a path in the middle of a jungle on the edge of Burma, and we're walking. And she began to cry. And what we learned was the only way to keep her from crying was that whenever we had to talk about something dangerous was to do it with a happy voice, right? Because she doesn't know any better. So we're walking like, oh, there's a big ditch on the right side. Don't step in it. Okay, honey. And we kept it happy. And finally, she fell asleep on my back. It's amazing when we know our daddy's holding us, we can fall asleep in the midst of a jungle. That wasn't even a point, but that is good. Give me a moment. I'm having a moment here. Hold it. Now, back to the point of the sermon, but that may be good enough to just, that's the bottom line today. Woo! Okay. So, we continued. So she falls asleep. Well, it got dark. And all we could see was, we looked to the left or right, it's just bamboo jungle. And we have a path about this wide, and it's going up and down and up and curb. And then we come to a point, and there's two paths. There's a moment, right? Which way do we go? What did Pastor Al say? Follow the path, you'll reach the campsite. Oh, we had a walkie-talkie. He said, when you get there, you'll hear a voice on the walkie-talkie, right? And every time, come in. Nothing. So we're like, well, we got to go one direction. So we picked a way, and we just kept walking. Kept walking. There were many splits. Just kept walking. We had one word from Pastor Al. Follow the trail, you hit the campsite. Sure enough, I don't know, 2 miles? We don't know. 7 kilometers. They were Canadian, so I don't know what. Thank you. About 4 miles, right? So we're pitch black, mind you. In, just winding. Sure enough, at the end of the path, there was a campsite. We found out later that every time it split, they would split and come back to the same path. But at the time, we didn't know that. Pastor Al knew that. He chose not to reveal that. Because we grew in that process. We knew we could trust his word when he said, follow the path to reach the campground. Didn't I tell you that? But at the time, there was a little stress. So we get up there, and we Angela and Hannah, we get in the tent, and they go to bed, and I hear that there's another group going to start coming up. Now, mind you, it's like 9 o'clock now, okay? Well, I got excited, because I'm like, they're coming up. They're not going to have any clue how to get here, but I know that that path leads to the campsite. I take off running. Back down the mountain. It's a whole different experience now because I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to meet these people. They're going to be clueless and they're going to have no idea, but I've been to the campsite and I know that when Pastor Al says, follow the path, you're going to get to the campsite, you're going to get there. So I go running. I get back down right as they're getting to the start of the trail. And there's a guy named Bobby, a girl with a broken arm and a cast, right? Which is awesome that she was going to the jungles of Burma with a broken arm. And then somebody else. And they're like, Matt, where do we go? Guess what I tell him? No kidding. I say, just follow the path. You'll hit the campsite. Oh, was it a joy when they got to those places. And they left or right. What seems good to you? I knew they were going to get there. Because I knew all the paths lead to the campsite. But it was so fun on that side of things. to know that I had been brought through the jungle trail and had seen on the other side that the word that Pastor Al shared was trustworthy. See, the joy of walking and following the word of the Lord. Sometimes we get to trails and we're like, I have options. What do I do? Just keep walking. Just he gave his word. If it's in line with his word, just keep walking. If there's some choices and neither of them makes much sense, just pick one. He's a big enough God. He can take that trail and bring it back. Just keep walking. Don't take off into the jungle, because that wasn't his word. Now, there was no chance of me doing that, by the way. But that wasn't his word. And then on the flip side, we get to meet people that are in the same dark places that we have been to. And we can tell them, listen, just keep walking, because you're going to get through that. I remember that walk back up the mountain the second time. I saw bamboo trees that I never saw before, this thick. There was a time when we got to about 3 miles into it, where the trees finally opened up and I saw this little window of stars. And I have never thought there were that many stars in my life, but there wasn't a light anywhere for miles. And I still remember, it is so in my head, I looked up and the brilliance of those stars was more than you'd see in Charlotte in a year. In that one little patch. Because I knew that the path is going to lead to where Pastor Al said it was going to lead. The problem was the first time I missed those stars. Because I was worried and I was scared and I was concerned and I was shaking and I was trying to be strong for my wife and my baby on my back. And I missed the beautiful stars. But when we know that our God is trustworthy, even in the midst of the darkest, most hard places, when we choose to just follow after his word, he's going to lead us on. Two mistakes. We're not honest in the midst of our darkness. And we don't tell him everything going on in our heart and allow him to transform us. Or two, when he gives us a word, we begin to tweak it. And we begin to try on our own to figure things out. There were others on the trip that refused to walk the path into the jungles of Burma. Not mentioning any names, they were not in this church today, but in case at some point they listen. I remember one girl in particular complained and worried and refused to go unless she was sitting on the back of that Jeep or something and there was some safety in it. And that revealed a little bit about her heart. And that's what Pastor Al was getting to. Wanted to see our hearts. And whether we'd walk into the jungle, not knowing where we're going. It's so much better with God, because we know his word is trustworthy.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.